This is Target Score Weekly with Joey Slattery and Taylor Allen. Welcome into another edition of Target Score Weekly. I'm Joey Slattery. That's Taylor Allen. And a ton has happened since our last episode. We've had the CEBL draft, which brought another player, kind of went as we expected, and a huge signing, which, Taylor, I have to say, you called it.
Well, I think everyone kind of saw it coming with Jared Ogunbemi-Jackson signing with his hometown Seabears, especially after, you know, he left his club team in Belarus, still with a couple of games remaining with the schedule. They were knocked out of the playoff race, but still. But before we get into that, though, I mean, congrats to us because we have survived the offseason. We, from now until tip-off next month, there's going to be lots to talk about. You know, we got past some of those weeks where there really wasn't much to talk about CEBL-wise, Seabears-wise, but things are really ramping up, already falling behind. Last week with the draft, now with Jared signing with the Seabears, lots to talk about now. So kudos to us. Now we're in the thick of it, the good stuff here with the season, but...
Right, we went from like Target Score kind of weekly to now we might be able to have Target Score daily, maybe hourly at this point.
exactly. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about Jared, you know, a couple times, you know, in the past year, really. But, you know, to add a guy who really checks basically all the boxes, you know, you get the hometown guy who's a guy you could easily market. And they're already doing that. They're already pumping out these cool videos on social media, you know, him talking about waking up at 5 a.m. and hopping on a bus to get to Garden City first thing in the morning to, you know, to be shooing around before school starts and all that stuff. So that's awesome, right? And the fact that he's going to be actually in the starting lineup, you mean, I would imagine in the starting lineup. Yeah. I can't see any way he's not in the starting lineup. That's going to be a cool thing for Winnipeg basketball fans to see as well. And then, you know, just the talent and the experience and the leadership that he brings to this team. Doesn't matter what city he's from, it's a massive pickup. Like, here's a guy who's played 9 years of pro basketball overseas. And we're not talking, you know, Div 6 in Kazakhstan. Like, he's played in some really high-level leagues. The league he was just in, it's a Russian league, but he's with the lone Belarus team. He was top, what, 3 in scoring in the league? He's playing against some former NBA guys in that league. You know, some people say that's one of the top 5 leagues in the world. And here's this guy from Winnipeg killing it over there. So to add him to the Seabears is massive, especially, again, as a Canadian talent. So kudos to them. That's probably the biggest pickup of the season next to Teddy Allen, obviously.
Yeah, it was probably the worst kept secret in Manitoba basketball. But that was a good thing because it was cool to see the hype, right? As they were announcing and teasing the announcement, the Seabears, people wanting Jared, right, and asking for him. Some people thought it might be EJ or EJ Anasike or, you know, Jelani Watson-Gale, yeah. But you know, they're not coming. They're out doing their thing, and they're not from Winnipeg. They said it was a hometown thing. I think everybody was real excited to see that it was Jared. And no, you're right. I mean, this is a guy that's played all over the place. And it's not often you get someone from, you know, to come to the hometown team anywhere in Canada, you know, the Toronto's, Vancouver's included, Montreal's included. I mean, this is a very unique situation where you get a top tier point guard coming to your team, you know, and a true point guard at that, right? I mean, last year, you know, Glenn Yang played it, but, you know, a guy that's not a true point guard, you know, forced into that position. And then, you know, they were forced to play some gymnastics when it came to their roster, their lineup on the court because of the Canadian rule. And now you've got someone who can handle the ball, who can score the ball, and has done it against the best. So I think it's huge. And another person that's added to the team is our guest this week, Sean Moranin. Sean Moranin, a standout at UW. He was a standout in Canada West in U Sports. Back-to-back nationals appearances for the Westmen led by Sean Moranin. And we were pretty sure that that was going to be the pick, right? That third... I think that third draft or third round of the draft was a huge gift for the Seabears because they were able to get the same guys last year. Hildebrandt went in the first round and Tyler Sagal went in the second round. And then that third round allowed Moran in. So no real tough decisions, I don't think, for Mike Taylor. He got all the U Sports guys that he wants, and what was a pretty stacked U Sports draft this year. I mean, you know, looking at the reports around the league, there's a lot of hype around a lot of these teams. And I think Winnipeg's right there. You know, you get the two local boys that have been stars at the level they've been You know, Hildebrand had a breakout season last year in his CEBL rookie season as the CEBL U Sports Player of the Year. You throw in Sean Moran in there, I think Moran is going to have a great opportunity now to see what he could do at the pro level, you know, because he's stood out at the U Sports level. But I think that only elevating the talent around him is going to make him better. I'm curious to see what he's capable of doing, you know, with professionals around him that, you know, he might not be able to do regularly at the U Sports level. I'm really excited to see what he could do.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, I mean, after that press conference with Jared the other day, you and I were both there. There were three reporters there. Joey and I were two of them. So there you go. We got our boots on the ground. We're covering this team. But anyways, after we spoke to Jared, you know, we spoke to him for probably 16 or so minutes. You and I stood in the lobby of the Sport for Life Center building talking Seabears for probably 20, 30 minutes, talking about what is Mike Taylor going to do, because in a good way, because they have so much Canadian talent, where last year, let's be honest, I mean, I've said this before and I'll say it again, they really lacked Canadian talent. It was that big three, EJ Anasike, Jelani Watson-Gale, and Teddy Allen, that really kind of dragged that team in more games than not, where this year they have some veteran Canadian guys like Jared Ogunbemi-Jackson. I mean, last year, the point guard spot was their weakest spot. Now, with him in the fold, that's one of their biggest strengths, right? And then you got Alex Campbell. That's a veteran CBL player, a guy who's won a championship before, a guy who's been a playoff MVP before. Yeah. You add him. Then there's Mason Bercier, another great guard. You know, he was with Vancouver last year. He's been in a couple of different spots. And he's been a couple different spots in the league already. He's a guy who could shoot. He was another, you know, point guard that would be an upgrade over Glenn Yang. They have him as well. So they have so much Canadian talent that they picked up this offseason. I mean, they really made a priority to beef up their Canadian talent, and they've done that. So now it's kind of like, oh, shoot, how do you get all these guys on the floor? Which is a fantastic problem to have last year, where last year it was like, okay, well, we don't have too many super strong Canadians. So, hey, Simon Hildebrand, fresh off of your freshman year at the U of M, you're going to be our first guy off the bench. Where now, I mean, Simon, who knows? We don't know all the big guys that they have yet. They still have a lot of signings to announce, but it might be tough for these these U Sports guys to get on the court because there is so many more veterans on this team, which is, again, obviously a good thing. But regardless of how many minutes Simon, Tyler Seagal, or Sean Moran and get to play or not, the fact that they get to spend a whole summer with some guys who really know how to play pro basketball, guys who've been all over the world, guys who are really accomplished in the sport, it's going to be fantastic for them and ultimately fantastic for the Bisons and Westman when they go back there in the fall.
Well, and you mentioned that in a few episodes back when we had Simon on the podcast, you know, how it was kind of a bit of a surprise in that first game, how early he got into that game. And that really set the tone for the rest of the season, right? So I still think they're going to get their playing time. I also think this is a great situation because the next man up mentality is there's confidence behind it. It's not who's going to step up. It's who do we want to step up, really, right? I mean, if everything goes to plan on paper, this is a really strong team from the Canadian standpoint specifically. I will see how the rest of the spots pan out after that. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that they struggled with the Canadians last year. Mike Taylor said, you know, that is going to be the priority. He said it on the podcast that this is where he was focusing his efforts on strengthening that Canadian contingent on the team. He's done just that. And from now here on in, I mean, I don't think there's as much pressure on signing the Americans. Obviously you want the best guys you can get, but you got Teddy Allen. That's the guy, right, in the league. Not just for the team. So, I mean, now I think it's all kind of gravy from here, really. Like, you know, it's just a matter of filling in the spots and you've got more freedom as a general manager of, you know, what kind of style you want to play, what kind of guys you want to bring in, what role you need, right? Like, what are things that we weren't privy to seeing last year that needed to be addressed, right? In terms of is there things that they need in practice, you know, a guy that's a pick me up that's going to, you know, run the starters a little bit harder in practice or get the best out of these guys, you know, maybe get a rise out of them, things like that. So, you know, and I'm not saying that's the case, but with the roster that you have right now, you can really tailor the roles that you want on this team and try and build a championship team, because even with the struggles they had last year, what, they have the second best record in the league in the regular season, and then, you know, a disappointing playoff loss to an Edmonton team that's very experienced, you know, and has won championships in the past. So, you know, this is the year now. You know, you went through your first year. You did really well, disappointed in the playoffs, but I don't think anybody was too upset about it, just, you know, because of the excitement stirred up. But, you know, this year the expectations are on you. And I mean, I think you're well equipped for it for sure. So it'll be interesting to hear from Sean Moran and a little later on in the episode, getting to know him a little bit better, the newest draft pick of the Winnipeg Sea Bears. But there's still other basketball being played as we're looking ahead to the CBL season. We're winding down the NBA season. And I got to say, with the playoffs here, feel real good about my Boston Celtics, Taylor Allen. Real good about my Boston Celtics, who are just decimated the league in the regular season and are poised to bring home Banner 18.
Wow. Are poised to bring home Banner 18. You didn't waste any time.
Bust.
You're going all in. Wow. And I mean, I'll be honest. I despise the Celtics. I always have. I always will. I wish them nothing but pain and misery for the rest of their existence. So it kills me to say that, yeah, I can't see anyone in the East knocking down the mighty Celtics. I mean, they are the first team to win a conference by 10 or more games since the 2016-17 Golden State Warriors. And that was a pretty damn good Warriors team that won the NBA title that year. The Celtics have been the cream of the crop all year, just killing teams. They've been far, far and away the best team in the East, in the league, really, all year round. And you look at the East right now, there's some fun, you know, round one matchups. But, I mean, Giannis is he's on the shelf, at least for the beginning of their first round series against my Indiana Pacers. So that's great for us. But, I mean, Milwaukee was a team that, just because of Giannis itself, would be maybe a team that could maybe give the Celtics some trouble, but even then, probably not. I mean, the Damian Lillard trade has really not worked out as well as the organization thought it would. I mean, he's a big name, right? Exciting name, a guy can score and whatever, but he can't play defense and he needs to shoot the ball about 417 times a game to really put up some of these big numbers. So that move has not paid off. And Chris Middleton battles injuries as well. So that's kind of knocked the Bucks off. And then you kind of look after that. I mean, the Knicks, great story. Jalen Brunson, of course. I mean, he's a MVP candidate and whatever.
But the Knicks are the Knicks.
But the Knicks, exactly. That's moving on. The Knicks are the Knicks, right? That says everything you need to know. I mean, you just look at this East, and I don't see anyone even taking the Celtics to seven games. I was going to say six games, but that's kind of a bold statement. But
I'll say this: the Atlanta Hawks have always had the number of the Celtics this year. The Indiana Pacers would be a team that scared me because
you're just almost saying like, that because I'm a
no. Because what do you have to lose, right? No,
you can't play defense.
I don't hate the Indiana Pacers like you hate the Boston Celtics and me. You know,
I don't hate you.
I like the Pacers. Hey, you hate the Celtics, you hate me, man. That's what I heard. But no, I think the ones that you'd have to be worried about if I'm the Celtics is just making sure that like you're the favorite in every series, and you got to be careful for those young teams that like you know, being naive. What's it? Naive is bliss or whatever. Ignorance is bliss. So you know these teams are so naive that you know it's like nothing to win a playoff series, right? When you're a young team kind of not really understanding what goes into it, where the Celtics have been dealt heartbreak after heartbreak with this particular core and they've been tinkering. Seems like they have, you know, as close to a perfect team as you're going to get. But the one thing that really worries me about the Celtics is their ability to close out close games. They haven't had a lot. Like they win by fair margins. And the one thing that's really hurt the Celtics this year in the games they've lost is just that. It's the 2-3-point games, you know, winding down. I don't know who their shooter is. Do you think it would be Jason Tatum, like in terms of that last second game in my hands to win the game? And for whatever reason, when they're in close games and time's winding down, they just abandon everything that works. They try to go to ISO ball. And when it comes to Tatum particularly, he's running down too much time. And I watch a lot of Celtics basketball, obviously. So I do have a little bit more insight on this. But, you know, here's a guy that runs down the clock to, you know, far too much and then puts up a shot that isn't there, right? And it's not the kind of shot where it's like, oh, you're creating the step back, you know, and it's an unbelievable shot because of how you manufactured it. It's no, he's forcing it up because he's run out of time. And, you know, you talked about Damian Lillard. I mean, it was impossible to get that guy, I think, for what we like what the Celtics would have had to give up for him. But there's a guy I'd like to see on the Celtics, because as much as he has to put up all the shots, he's got a fair amount of clutch performances on game-winning shots that I think the Celtics can use. But that said, the Celtics should roll, and I can't see them not being in the finals. And then the finals get a little tricky. That's where, I mean, the West is so strong this year. And not only that, though, I mean, the benefit of that is whoever gets out of the West is going to be beat up. It's going to be a slugfest to get to the finals out of the West, regardless who it is. I mean, that,
you know what? I don't know if I buy that narrative, because I mean, you could also argue that the Celtics will be on cruise control to the final, where if they play the Nuggets or the Thunder, the T-Wolves, the Clippers, whoever, the Suns, Lakers, whoever, coming out of the West, that team's going to be battle tested. They're going to be, they've seen it all, where the Celtics, you know, they've been chilling, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
you can, argue that side of it as well. So just keep that.
No, totally. Like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of the, you know, that's almost like the hope is that they're not battle tested. They're
beat up,
right? Yeah. Like battled, beat up, and you know, and the deeper you go into these playoff series, I mean, you know, guys start, you know, like they always say, that time of year, everybody's playing with something, right? And the more game sevens that you played, and the more games played, you know, the harder it is to rebound. And there's not a lot of time between these series. Like the NBA rolls, right? It's not like the NHL where they wait for every series. I mean, if there's a round two series ready to go, they'll get right into it before round one's complete with the NBA. So, but I mean, man, OKC, what a fun team to watch, right? Especially with the Canadian content. Talk about the CBL and the Canadian contingent for the Sea Bears. I mean, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and, you know, Lou Dort on that team. You know, that's just unreal what they've done this year in OKC. They're a fun team to watch. Denver is Denver.
Well, OKC, youngest number one seed of all time.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Well, it's like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So I kind of feel in a way they've already won their NBA championship this year, right? Like, I think we're the number one seed. Like, we weren't expecting to be number one seed. I don't care what anyone says. We're good. Like, I feel
this
like
is the Celtics, the last
they peaked already. They yeah. got something cool already there. I don't know. And you want to talk about battle tests? I mean, that's a team that doesn't have playoff experience, obviously. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I don't think he's going to have any problems in the playoffs. But the rest of that team, very young team, obviously, like I just said. I don't know if they can hang with all these kind of older teams, especially if they run into Denver in the Western Conference Final, who was literally just there last year, won the whole thing. So they're going to be a super fun team to watch. That's a team, along with Minnesota, who I'm really rooting for this year in the West. But yeah, just lacking that experience. I think sometimes these younger kind of hotshot teams, they need to get to the playoffs, get punched in the face a couple times, then come back next year and be stronger. And I think that's probably going to be the case with OKC. But it will be cool to see how far Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the face of Canadian basketball right now, can take them.
But you look at, like, when I was previewing the East, and I just said, like, oh, teams to kind of look out for that I might be worried about, you know, the Hawks, the Pacers, whatever, you know, like kind of just fabricating it almost. That's not the case in the West. In the West, I mean, from you look at the top eight teams or top six teams, sorry, Phoenix is stacked. You've got Dallas. Luka alone can go off, right? You've got, who else we got? The Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Minnesota.
Kawhi's banged up right now. So,
and then you got Minnesota, though, who, like you said, top three. Like, that was an exciting team to watch. And they seem to be, you know, for all the struggles Minnesota's had over the years trying to build this team and the trades they've made, and, you know, the whole Rudy Gobert thing didn't look like it was working out. Like, now they're dangerous with the team that they have set up. Denver's the defending champions, number two, and then OKC. I mean, all those teams that are in there, you know, 1 through 10 has a chance going into it. And then there's not the same in the Eastern Conference. Like, it was just so much. When I say 1 through 10, I think that was the first time in league history that 1 through 10 finished above 500, meaning they beat up on a lot of Eastern Conference teams. Right. Crazy. So this is a hard Western Conference. And I think, like, if I'm Oklahoma City or Denver, I'm not sitting here thinking the 1 or 2 seed is a lock by any stretch. What might be the difference is the fact that you have home court advantage. And I think that plays a huge factor this year in the West of the seedings in terms of having that extra game at home.
Yeah, I think a first round series I'm probably most looking forward to watching is Minnesota and Phoenix.
Yeah,
I mean, the Timberwolves have been arguably the most exciting team in the league to watch this year, just basically because of Anthony Edwards. Like, this guy is literally highlight reel. Yeah. And then he follows it up in his press conferences after the game. He's hilarious, and he tells you exactly how it is. He's like, he's the coolest guy ever. I love Anthony Edwards. But as a Minnesota Vikings fan, I can tell you from experience that good things do not happen to Minnesota sports teams. They never have, and they probably never will, but hopefully that does change. So as much as I, you know, hope the T-Wolves can go on a run this year, going up against KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Grayson Allen, let's throw him some love. He's been really good for Phoenix this year as well. Going up against those guys round one, that's going to be tough. But I think they can still get past Phoenix. But again, I don't know. Like, it's so boring because all the experts are talking about Boston versus Denver, Denver versus Boston in the NBA Finals. And that was probably the finals that we should have got last year.
Yeah.
So I hate just going with that. And, you know, for a while, the NBA playoffs were so kind of boring because usually it was pretty obvious which teams are going to be in the finals. But these past couple of years, that hasn't really been the case, which has been good as opposed to those Cleveland Golden State years. But this year, you know, I think there's going to be some really fun series and whatnot leading up to the finals. But I think we could talk about this till we're blue in the face, but I think everyone kind of knows it's going to be Denver versus Boston.
Let's wrap this up. I was going to say, to wrap this up before we head to our interview with Sean Moran, and what's your finals prediction? I got Celtics in Denver.
Yeah, and I absolutely hate doing this. I take no pride in this. I get no joy out of this. And if I get this right, as long with everyone else, I'm not going to feel anything because it's like, this was the easy answer. But I'm looking at it and I've been doing some homework and I just don't foresee any situation.
And you're a smart guy. And you're a smart guy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. You're well prepared. I would not go that far. But I just don't.
You do your homework.
I do my homework. I will at least give myself that. I just don't foresee any situation, especially in the East, but kind of in the West too. I just don't see any situation where Denver, I mean, they don't have Bruce Brown anymore, right? They lost them to Indiana, who then traded him to Toronto, part of that Pascal Siakam trade. So that'll be something to watch because that guy was very clutch for them last year. And who knows, you know, with Michael Porter Jr., like his brother now being banned from the NBA, that's something for him to be thinking about going to this. Maybe, maybe not. I have no idea. So who knows? Maybe there's some holes in Denver. We'll see. But again, OKC's too young. Minnesota's awesome story, but they're kind of young too. And Karl Anthony Towns coming off of an injury as well. That could be tough. Clippers are banged up. Dallas has two players. Phoenix has four players. Pelicans, no. Lakers, sorry, Lakers fans, don't want to hear it, but no. So, I think it's Denver. I think it's Boston. And once they get to that final,
Boston wins. Yeah, you're right.
No. Don't put those words, those dirty words in my mouth. When they get to the finals, Jokic is going to become a two-time NBA champion, leading the Denver Nuggets to back-to-back rings. That is my prediction. In seven games.
What size shirt are you? Large?
I could squeeze into some mediums, but, you know, large to play it safe, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'll get that large Celtics championship shirt on order for you just to make sure, you know, you can grow into it. I know you like to go to the gym, so give you a little space for growth. But yeah, that championship, 18th championship banner t-shirt will be coming your way in June. With that, let's get to our interview. Nua Seabear, the third round draft pick of the Winnipeg Seabears and University of Winnipeg standout Sean Moranin joins us here on Target Score Weekly. Newest member of the Seabears. Now, you were there last year, Sean, but what does it mean to you to kind of get this hype around it, you know, getting the draft and getting all the attention? What was this last week like?
It's been hectic, but nonetheless, it's been amazing. Obviously, been a huge basketball fan my whole life, and now I get to fulfill my childhood dreams of playing professionally. Not only that, to do it at home, it's, you know, you can't really put it into words.
The draft results were announced last week, but you were told ahead of time. So what was it like for you knowing that you were picked for your hometown pro team, no longer a practice player, you're on the roster, but you,
yeah.
I'm assuming you couldn't tell anyone, at least not right away.
No.
What
no.
was that like?
I was at a loss for words, but, you know, prior to when I was told, Coach Rainbow kind of kept me updated. Coach Taylor kept me updated with if they were going to pick me or not. But the day that they told me, man, I was emotional. I was excited. There were a lot of I was just feeling extremely happy. And to get it officially announced the other day, it's an amazing feeling for sure.
How do you find your way onto the team last year? Like, I know, you know, Mike Rainbow is your coach with the University of Winnipeg. He was an assistant last year, but how do you find your way even to the team last year?
Yeah. So last year they held their tryout. It was funny because I was on vacation and Coach Rainbow was texting me and he was telling me that there was a tryout for the Seabears. And I told him I'm on vacation, so I don't know how that's going to work. But luckily, I guess when I landed just a day after was when the tryout was. And so, man, I took like 2 weeks off and didn't touch a ball for a long time. And I just went to the tryout. Yeah, had some fun over there. And then, you know, they told me that I would be a part of the practice squad. So that's how it all went down last year.
What was your welcome to the pros moment? Was it, I'd imagine something happened in practice, you went up against a guy, you're like, oh shoot, this is a whole nother level, or did you have a specific kind of memory or moment that was really your welcome to the pros? So this is a whole nother beast here.
Yeah, not a specific moment honestly, but really what I picked out early was that like everyone was faster. Like you could tell that there's a big jump from the U Sport level to the pros. And yeah, I'm just trying to get over a screen and there's big fella Chad right there. Like, I don't know how I was supposed to get through that screen, but just the physicality is different. The speed is different. And yeah, I was just happy and fortunate enough to kind of get to experience that last year.
This is nothing new to you though, right? I mean, you look at, it's kind of funny that you technically walked onto the team last year through the tryout, but I mean, yeah. If you take people through your journey, right? You show up to the University of Winnipeg as a walk-on, right? Yeah. The odds of a walk-on making a team at the U Sports level is pretty slim. It happens. But to do what you did with that, you know, you find your way into a starting role, then you become a Canada West All-Star. You set records, you know, when it comes to, I think you even have the last one you set was the single game assists record in a single game for a Canada West playoff spot. I mean, what is it about this drive that allows you to, I guess, overcome these challenges and things that would be perceived as barriers?
Yeah, I remember last week I was telling you that, like, ever since I was a kid, this is all I ever wanted to do. Basketball was really like my life. Like I remember as a kid, I had this basketball hoop in my basement and it was a hoop where I could use like a Wilson ball. So every day after school, I get home at 3:45, eat, and then I'm in the basement playing basketball from 4 till it's time to go to bed. Literally every day with my cousins, we would just play basketball and I just fell in love with it. Especially like growing up, I thought, you know, I was getting better. And I was getting some, you know, some recognition, some success playing with the Manitoba team, Team Manitoba, that is. And yeah, ever since then, like, I just fell in love with it. And I knew that, like, I was good enough to play at a high level. And it was just a matter of putting the work in and just believing in myself. Yeah.
Can you take us through that year before you got to the UW? For those that don't know, Sean, I think you have one of the best stories out of any Winnipeg athlete going right now. I mean, you had a great career at Sisler, whatever reason, don't get that scholarship, don't get that opportunity at a U Sports school. Then you're working at a rental car agency, working evenings. I'm imagining not having a blast doing that. We've all worked jobs that we haven't exactly loved. What was that year like for you working this job that wasn't maybe the best and it's kind of taking you away from basketball? Just kind of take us through what that experience was like.
To be honest, like, it hurt me every day. Like obviously I had some of my close friends playing at the UW at the time, Don Derrett, Denzel Sullivan, and Joseph Medrano, who are also, Filipinos. They also went to Sisler, so they paved the way for, younger people like me. And yeah, I'm just at work. I was working the evening shift, right? So obviously you don't have time to do anything throughout the day. Like normally my days would look like, you go to school and then I'm playing basketball for the rest of the day. So that changed a lot. Didn't even have time to go hoop, go out with my friends and stuff like that. So that was tough. And I remember just being at work, just thinking about, man, what am I gonna do next year? Like I don't want to be doing this. Like there has to be some team or some school that I can go to and play for. So, but I feel like that was God's plan, and He put me in a position, to kind of look at life in a different way. And I just felt like I was more hungrier after that.
I was going to say the Sisler High School, anytime they've been at a provincial championship when I've been able to work it, is easily the loudest school. I wouldn't say it's the biggest
Oh, yeah.
contingent, but definitely
Oh, yeah.
loud and proud when it comes to Sisler. But you just talked about that, the Filipinos that play basketball here, and that community is just it's big here, A. But
Crazy.
basketball is like next level when it comes to
Oh,
that
yeah.
community. I remember the Sea Bears saying just the Filipino community alone almost ensures that professional basketball would be a success. But then you look at your fan base, a Canada West Championship, you had a whole section behind the UW. And for those that have never been to the U of M, it's a pretty big section. Like those sections go pretty high up. And Moranin had his own section. I mean, what does it mean to have that kind of support? When you're showing up to a gym and there's people there showing out to you and, really getting behind you the way they do.
Yeah, man, it means the world to me. Again, I was telling you last week, like it's nothing new to me. Like from growing up, anytime I was on the road, my family would get together and they would live stream the game together. So that just goes to show how supportive they are. Yeah, it just means a lot, man. It gave me a lot of juice for sure during the tournament. Even though we were on the road, essentially, truly felt like I was at home. So it's gonna be fun. I know they're all looking forward to the Sea Bear season this summer, and it's just gonna be exciting.
Anytime you play the crosstown rival, Manitoba Bisons, I'm sure you're more amped up. I mean, everyone is on both sides. But when you play them, is there an even bigger chip on your shoulder just knowing that, hey, like you were a guy who was available and they never reached out. They didn't give you a shot. Is that even this many years later, when you play them, do you try to stick it to them for that reason alone?
To be honest, that definitely goes in the back of my mind. Like I definitely think about that. But whenever we play the Bisons, you could tell like throughout the week that it's a much bigger game. And there's just a lot of excitement, nervousness, a lot of different feelings going into the week whenever we play the Bisons. And you have to know when you play against them, you got to lace up your shoes just a little bit tighter because Kirby Shep is a great coach over there. And obviously you have Simon, Mason, and the rest of those guys over there. And it's never easy against them. They're always a tough team to play, but whenever I see them on the schedule, it's definitely an exciting time for me.
And you look at the rosters right now. I mean, Manitoba lost one player going into next year. I don't think you guys have lost anybody. I don't know if there's a graduating player on UW. So, I mean, you're technically going in. If you go back to last year into this year, I mean, this is going to be 3 years of a very heated, tightly contested rivalry between the crosstown schools. What does that mean to you to be a part of this? I mean, when you look at basketball history in the city, where it is right now with the Sea Bears coming to town and both of the university programs being as good as they are, I mean, how fun is this? Do you take that in at all, knowing that this has been a pretty exciting chapter of basketball in Manitoba?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's definitely exciting, and to know that on both sides, it's filled with a bunch of local players. So it goes to show how talented we all are from the city of Winnipeg. And yeah, it's always just exciting. And I think it's good for the city to have, I guess you could call it a rival, but it's good to have two really competitive schools go at it, and to know that there's obviously kids out there who are, trying to be where we are today. So, to kind of impact the younger generation, I think it's great for both programs.
There was a time not that long ago, Sean, when the Westman men's basketball team was kind of struggling. They really were kind of falling behind in the Canada West, and now these past couple of years, you guys are back, obviously, one of the best teams in the conference, one of the best teams in the nation. What has it meant to you to again, just knowing your journey and everything, to not just be on this team, but be a big reason why Westman men's basketball is back and again, now competing against some of the best programs in the nation after quite a few years where that wasn't really the case.
Yeah, it means a lot, man. It's great to be recognized for a lot of the successes we were able to accomplish for the last few years. But kudos to Coach Mike, though. Like Coach Mike Rainbow, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. He's just an unbelievable coach. But not only that, he's just an amazing person as well. And he pushes us every single day. We literally get no days off. Like every day is a grind. And that's what I love about it. Like this is what I dreamt of being a part of. Like this is high level basketball, right? And Coach Mike really pushes us every day to kind of accomplish our goals. And yeah, and it just means a lot that I get to be at home again, and that we're a top contender in our conference.
Is there a benefit, having him around as an assistant coach? I know he's the head coach at UW, but being an assistant with the Sea Bears, does it bring a little more comfort as you go into this new chapter now where, you're likely going to have a bigger role this year? I mean, last year you were there, but this year you're probably going to hit the court and play a little bit. So how much does it help you having a familiar face with someone that's been so, impactful in your life on the bench with you?
Exactly. I think it's going to be extremely helpful. He's like another set of eyes for me. He's always helping me out. I'm always asking him a ton of questions on the sideline and stuff like that. So to have someone like him with me along board for the summer, I think it's going to be a beneficial thing for myself.
What about having someone like Jared Ogbemi Jackson with you as well? A veteran point guard, also from Winnipeg, another guy you can learn from.
Exactly. I'm just going to try to pick his brain every day and try to learn as much as I can. And I'm going to compete every day as well. Like he's probably one of the best, if not the best point guards to come out of the city of Winnipeg. So, I want to be there to compete with the best of them. So, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to team up with him and learn as much as I can from him.
How do you think the professional game is going to elevate your game? And what I mean by that is, what do you think that you have maybe not been able to exploit at the university level that playing with professionals might allow you to exploit at a maybe a higher level?
Yeah, I think obviously guys are much faster. Obviously, I'm a lot shorter than a lot of these other players. So I think, my passing ability, I think, is going to be really helpful for me. And I think I'm going to, do the best I can to exploit that. I'm going to try to be aggressive every day, get in the lane. Obviously, I'm not here to score the ball. I'm not here to, check up all these shots, but what I can do and what I can help the team with is facilitating. So I think just getting other guys involved, I think that's what I'm going to try to exploit.
Do you have a favorite Teddy Allen story from last year? We all saw what he did on the court and whatever, but you had a different perspective, practicing with him and whatnot. Do you have a favorite Teddy Allen story from
I do
last year?
actually. I do. So we were in practice one day, and yes, we were at practice and we were scrimmaging. I remember I was on the sideline at the time, and so we're scrimmaging. It's pretty competitive. Guys are talking. You know how guys are. So I think his team, I think they have game point, and they just get a defensive stop, and Teddy's running down the floor, and I'm on the sideline, and he's like, "Watch this, I'm going for game. Like this is game." So a few seconds go on, guys are passing it around, and Teddy gets the ball in the corner. He gets the ball in the corner, he pump fakes and he drives middle and he shoots this floater. But this floater almost touched the ceiling. almost touched his ceiling, and it just went straight down the net. Swish. And he said, "That's game. That's game." Teddy is different, though. He's a different breed, man. He's a lot of fun to watch, and I'm just excited to share the court with him this year.
Yeah, it's. I remember like when Teddy first hit the court in that first game. There's a couple of times where the ball leaves his hand. And you think like, man, that's nowhere near the rim. Like he had no time to set it up, or it looks like it's a little soft, and then nothing but nylon.
Boom.
Like,
yeah,
it's just he's so different in that sense. But no, I guess in that like the chance to play with guys like that now. I mean, now we're talking dudes that have played pro. You look at Teddy Allen, who's had success at the highest level in college, right? You still have another year left ahead of you. And here's a guy who served the University of Connecticut their last loss in the tournament. They've won back-to-back championships now, right? So, I mean, how excited are you not only to play with these guys, but how much do you hope to even, like, just pick their brain and hear what worked for them to elevate your game going into the next U Sports season or Canada West season?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to be a sponge, man, and just continue to learn as much as I can. And obviously, a lot of these guys have been through it all. Obviously, they've been top guys at their college and university, and a lot of guys have been playing professionally for a while. So, competing with them every day is going to be beneficial for me. I'm going to know how to play with and against stronger guys, faster guys. So there's just a lot to take away from this going into my senior year next year.
Nice. Is it time, Taylor?
It's time.
You ready for target time, Sean?
Let's do it.
Reminder, target time is the slowest rapid fire question sequence of all time. Taylor and I have about 5 questions each for you. First thing that comes to mind, might ask you for a little bit of context. Don't worry too much about it. It's all in good fun. Yeah. I'm going to kick things off. You've played in a lot of places. You've been to 2 national tournaments. You've seen a lot of gyms in your lifetime. What's been your favorite gym to play in?
Favorite gym.
And it can't be UW.
Oh, I was just about to say UW. Favorite gym to play in? Definitely the University of Victoria. Their school over there. They have a nice facility. And when we played them, that building was rocking, man. They had a lot of fans.
That's basketball royalty out there, too. And then you're going head-to-head with Diego, who you'll be seeing again this year. He just signed with the Bandits, Diego Mafia. Oh, yeah. So that must add a little bit to it, too, eh? When you're going up against another elite point guard like that, I mean, that's kind of the marquee matchup.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun going against them. And, like, playing at UVic last year in the playoffs, I remember they hit the first shot of the finals last year, and it was a 3. I swear to God, as I was dribbling down the court, the whole building was shaking.
Oh, wow.
I was like, it was that loud. So definitely my favorite place to play in.
Nice.
Sean, if you had to make a starting 5 of guys from Winnipeg, you could put yourself at point guard. I'll allow that. You can't pick any fellow Sea Bears. So no Chad, no Simon, no Jared. Gotta think outside the box a little bit. Who's cracking your starting 5?
Okay. At the point guard, I'll have to go with Denzel Sullivan. Are you guys familiar with Denzel?
I know the name.
He played at the University of Winnipeg. He was a Sisler legend as well. Damn, I might have to name all Filipinos, but at the 1, I'll go with Denzel Sullivan. At the 2, I'll go Don Darrett. At the 3, I'll go Joseph Medrano. At the 4, I'll go Jonar Huertas. Legend, absolute legend. And at the 5, I'll probably go Noah Simpson.
Okay.
There's probably a lot of...
Was all Sisler guys?
You guys, they're actually all Sisler guys.
Okay.
He goes all Winnipeg and he takes it all Sisler on you. That's what he does, man. Eh?
Those guys are legends over there.
The bond runs deep, eh? Sisler
it
in
does,
your blood for
sure.
Life. All right.
Yes, sir.
What's your go-to pregame jam? And if you can't think of a particular song, is there a particular artist that you go to get you amped up for a game?
I don't have a particular song. But before games, I like to take it. Let's go Drake.
Drake?
Let's go, Drake.
Safe bet. I like it.
Safe bet, yep.
If you could meet any NBA player and just kind of pick their brain or play them one-on-one or whatever. If you can meet any NBA player, who would it be and why?
Fred VanVleet. And he was undrafted, undersized guard, and he's accomplished a lot in the league. So if I was able to meet one NBA player, it would definitely be him.
Bet on yourself. I like it. Yeah,
good. Exactly. Point. Exactly.
This isn't my question, but what would your first question to him be?
My first question is, you know, how do you play? How do you play through all the doubt? You know, obviously you're much smaller, so how do you deal with all that stuff?
Okay. Now this, you could actually go outside of basketball if you want, but who's your all-time favorite athlete?
Can I name two people?
Yep. I'll give you that.
Okay. They're both basketball players, so. And they're pretty broad, so. LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
Oh, I was going to say Kobe. I thought you were going to drop Kobe for sure. So yeah. LeBron, okay. LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay, target time question 1.1 or 2.2 here, whatever question I'm on. Who's the GOAT?
Michael Jordan.
Correct with you. I agree with you. All right.
I thought you were going to name a Sizzler guy, though, as your favorite athlete of all time. So I'm surprised you pivoted away from Sizzler.
I could have for sure. MJ's my goal.
That's fair. Well, I'll stick with the NBA theme for my next one. What's the best logo in the NBA? What team has the best logo, do you think?
The best logo? That's a good question. The best logo. Now I'm just gonna go with my Raptors, man.
Okay, but do you go current Raptors or do you go throwback?
Oh, you gotta go with the throwback.
Purple dinosaur.
With the Raptors? purple dinosaur. Yeah. Yes, you gotta.
Now we're talking.
And their jerseys are tough too. So
it's so funny how nostalgia works. Though I remember when they first went away from the pinstripes, like. I wasn't a huge fan of at first, like the Vince Carter, like when it was white, purple, and red, but like predominantly white, and they didn't have the pinstripes anymore. But I remember when the red jersey first came out, I actually had a Vince Carter red authentic Raptors jersey, and I got it right after he got dealt in New Jersey. Yeah, but then it gets like after a while, though, you're just like, you get used to it, and then nostalgia hits hard because people loved those jerseys when they first came out. Now there's such a callback for the old Raptors stuff. But yeah, I love the old Raptors, man. That's a great logo. All right, so what's your if you're not playing basketball, okay, and you don't have to be good at it right now, but if you could play another sport at a high level and you were just gifted the skill, what sport outside of basketball would you pursue?
Either volleyball or baseball, I think.
What is it about those sports?
Well, volleyball, I used to play in junior high and high school a little bit, and I wasn't a bad setter. I remember I think I won team MVP in grade 9.
Nice.
And I just had a lot of fun playing the sport. Obviously, it's a lot different than basketball, so there's that. And then baseball, I used to always watch my dad play baseball. My dad played baseball a lot when I was younger, growing up. And I used to play catch with like all my cousins. Baseball has been like a sport that I've always found fun.
What position do you think you'd play in baseball? For some reason, I'm thinking shortstop, but.
Yeah, definitely shortstop. Definitely.
Yeah, that's the quick one, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Favorite restaurant in Winnipeg? You know, you're one of the local guys on the team, so these American guys, these international guys on the Sea Bears, guys from all other places in Canada, they're going to be coming to you for the recommendations.
Gotta play tour guide. Gotta play tour guide.
Favorite.
What's the go-to spot?
Favorite restaurant. I have to go with Johnny G's.
Yeah.
It's a good spot, man.
It is a good spot.
I mean, it's got this, they have like specials going on throughout the week, and the steak and pasta is really just.
They got good chicken fingers too. Nice.
They got, exactly.
Yeah, that's my go-to. Their honey dill sauce is good too. And then I just had their Fat Boy burger like not long ago, and it was phenomenal. But yeah, good call, man. That I wasn't expecting.
Johnny G's is good.
Great call.
Yeah.
Great close call. To Sport for Life Center where you guys practice exactly. as well. So it's, yeah, you're thinking. There you go. Good call.
It's close to where all the other guys live. So
nice.
It'll be good.
All right. Now my last one. What is your favorite pastime or hobby?
My favorite hobby?
Yeah, do you have anything outside of basketball that you kind of do that people might be surprised to hear?
Nothing really.
No?
I play a lot of video games.
What's your game?
Call of Duty.
Yeah?
I'm on the game with my Westman teammates in my free time a lot, so.
Who's the best on the team?
Who's the best on the team?
Yeah.
I think I'm up there, but... I think Malachi Alexander would be the second best. Yeah. And then there's Emmanuel Thomas.
Okay. All right. So that's like the Call of Duty All-Stars, the big three.
Yes, that's the big three.
That's awesome.
Okay. So to cap off target time, you know, NBA playoffs are technically underway with the play-in games and whatnot. But Sean, what are your predictions for the NBA playoffs? Who's making it to the finals? Who's going to win it all?
Man, I want to see the Lakers go to the finals, but obviously they're running into the defending champions in the first round, so that's going to be tough. But I think Boston, I hope Boston makes it out of the East, because if they don't, then I don't know what's going to happen over there. But I think Boston's going to make it out the East, and I just have to beat Denver again. So between those two, I'll say Boston. I'll take Boston.
Yes.
I'll take Boston. It's a big
yes.
year.
Yes.
Not what I want to hear, Sean. Not what I want to hear.
I'm sorry. Who did you want? Who did you want to win this year?
Anybody but Boston, because Joey's a Boston fan, and I don't want to listen to him brag about Boston winning an NBA title.
I think I'm on Joey's side.
Do you understand how much turmoil my life has been since 2008? Just hoping for these titles. Kendrick Perkins is not injured in 2010. That's banner 18. I had to see them go to the finals a few years ago, only to get smacked. I mean, hey, man, this is the year. I agree with Sean. This is the year that they do it. They have to.
Their
window is not closing by any stretch, but like they've been knocking on the door that you got to break it down, and they got to win like four of the next 5 years. I appreciate that. I have no doubts that they get through to the final, but it's the final that worries me, because man, Denver's good.
Oh,
OKC's
yeah.
the West, good. Like the West is strong.
Yeah,
I hear you. All right, that concludes Target Time. Sean, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations. This is unreal to see the so much local talent coming into the professional scene, and especially at your age, man. Like, you know, university, between you and Simon still playing at the university level, getting this opportunity. I really hope that it's everything that you want it to be and you get everything out of it. But, I hope you enjoy the season. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys a lot. And thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
That was the newest draft pick of the Winnipeg Sea Bears and Boston Celtics fan, at least for the playoffs. That's what I heard, Sean Moranen. And I know that that doesn't sit well with you, Taylor. You're just this is hard for you. You know, thank you for going through this and wearing this the way you are. It's a really upstanding for you to jump on this Celtics bandwagon and accept that everybody else is on that bandwagon too.
You know, I was really enjoying that conversation with Sean. You know, seems like a great guy. He's going to be a great addition to that locker room and just a great story that he has. But then he says he's rooting for the Celtics and he thinks the Celtics are going to win the NBA.
Smart basketball guy, really.
That hurts.
I mean, just a smart basketball guy. That's all I got of that. I said, this is a great conversation. And then I was like, wow, like he's blowing my mind with how much, you know, he knows about basketball with that Celtics drop and knowing who the favorites are and who's going to take home the championship this year. But I'm really looking forward to watching him in the CBL. I know I said it at the start of the podcast, but, to see the opportunities these guys get and what Simon did last year, you and I have watched a lot of basketball and we follow the U Sports very closely. You know, I watched pretty much every home game as the color commentator for the Westman this year that Moran played in. And, whole time I'm thinking this is his year to break into the CBL after, sitting on the sidelines last year. He got that chance, and history will tell you anytime he's gotten this chance, he's he's made the most of it. So I'm very excited to see what he's able to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like we touched on it in the interview, obviously. I mean, Sean has such an amazing story. Like, so many people would have given up. They would have kept working their miserable job or whatever. But like, no, like, this guy did not quit. He loved basketball. He's like, screw it, I'm gonna keep working at this and hopefully get an opportunity. He gets invited to a Westman scrimmage, you know, nothing major or whatever. Gets his like toe in the door, basically, and he ends up kicking that door down and goes from a walk-on to literally the face of the program. And that really doesn't happen, especially in U Sports. Like, it's usually pretty obvious who these teams are going to be building around and, you know, the big recruit coming out of Winnipeg and whatever. But he really went under the radar, and he's making everyone other than the Westman obviously pay for it. So really cool for him. He's also going to be the first, you know, Filipino, I believe, to be on the Sea Bears roster. That's really cool for our local Filipino basketball community, that we know they'll come out strong to support him and the team like they always do. So
already seeing the celebration on social media. Yeah, that's already huge.
Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, again, great story, great interview, and hopefully we'll have Sean back on later in the year as well, and he can share some more Teddy Allen practice stories. That was a good yeah, story with the sky teardrop there to call a game.
Could you imagine if they sold Winnipeg High School and U Sports or Canada West jerseys and the Moranin, Westman, and Sisler jersey? That'd be a hot seller. I feel like the Westman are leaving a lot of money on the table not marketing that Westman number 5 jersey.
It's true. That's true. Okay. Actually, he's got something his own I'm curious about.
What's that story?
No, you know, finish your thought, then I'll...
I was going to say, in the all Sisler team, selling those jerseys, now that we've got his all-time Winnipeg team, just straight Sisler guys.
That's right, yeah. But no, what I was going to say is, I'm curious when or if or how, or if they're even allowed to or what, when the Sea Bears will start selling jerseys with players' names on the back.
That is something that, I've asked about, never really got a firm answer on. I think the tough part with that, Taylor, is that it's hard to ensure continuity. Like, I don't think people understand the fact that Teddy Allen is coming back to the Sea Bears, how big of a deal that is. For two reasons: that he came back to this team, but even that he came back to the CEBL. I mean, there are guys that, from what I'm hearing, like EJ and Asike just not coming to the CEBL this year and needs a summer off. Jelani talked about how hard it was last year, to play from a full season, then come to a summer league and then go back to a fall winter league. It's a lot. So, I think that is maybe one of the big deterrents, but I agree with you, man. I think at least in the last year, and this isn't just a Winnipeg thing. I mean, Calgary did really well last year and, they've got a pretty strong fan base. Edmonton has had a strong fan base for years. They've had some players return. I think that's a thing that can happen, right? And I don't know if this is something that, if you've been to an NBA game, a lot of times what they do is the jerseys are on the racks, but they could actually press them there, right? So I don't know if that's an option, for a CBL team to have live pressings of the players that you want or personalized jerseys, things like that. But I have to imagine that is something the league is going to look at as a whole, not just the Sea Bears of, the jerseys. I mean, look how many Sea Bears jerseys you see now. I mean, every U Sports game I went to, there was at least a kid in a Sea Bears jersey, right? So, and you add to the collection, you get a Teddy Allen, and maybe next year you're buying the same jersey, but you're getting, Chad Posthumus on the back or Simon Hildebrandt, whatever, Jared, whatever. It's an opportunity there for sure. And I think they're proving that it's about the time where we can, sell those jerseys. But no, you're right. I always thought, even I was at the, I hosted the MC, the Basketball Manitoba Champion Awards the other day. I was watching the high school game. They had the all-star game for the, the single A, double A, triple A, then just the quad A. And I'm looking at some of the jerseys, man. Like, when I saw Oak Park in the provincial championships at first, I'm like, oh, I hate this jersey. It's so hard to see the numbers. And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, these are like stellar throwback jerseys. Like, they're just great. And I'm like, and I think Zwicky makes a lot of them too. So I'm wondering, it's like, yeah, just make a few extra, sell them on, to students, whatever, and people that are there for the fans. The school makes a little extra money, whatever. But no, it's one of those things where I think basketball is just getting more marketable in this city particularly. So yeah, it'd be something to see that. But I think the CEBL, you're right. I'd like to see them get on that sooner than later, because there's a lot of stars in this league that I think would move, you know, not to NBA levels, obviously, but enough that it makes it worth it.
Yeah, I mean, year one would have been tough, obviously, and that's something you probably have to order and prepare for before the season tips off. And no one knew that Teddy Allen was going to that quickly become the face of the team, face of the league, really, face of the city for that summer. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to now say that that's something that would have worked. So maybe moving forward, who knows? They had a million and one more important things to worry about and stress about heading into their first season than getting Chad Postlemus jerseys on the shelves or anything like that. But just kind of curious. Maybe that's
also would have been a hot seller.
That too. Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, maybe we have to fill the void. Maybe we just identified a void and people want CBL jerseys that are personalized with, you know, players' names and numbers on the back. Maybe we just got to make Target Square Weekly jerseys and put our last names on the back and see how fast they sell.
And mine would automatically sell better than yours because people would see Allen on the back and they would assume it's Teddy Allen, not Taylor Allen. So those would be just flying off the shelf. So then we wouldn't be able to give away the Slattery jersey. So
no, you're right. I think you do have an advantage there, except, you know, the smart fans are going to know they associate with greatness, and I associate with greatness through the Celtics. And they're going to say, you know what, I'm going to get a Slattery jersey because he knows what's what, you know, and he knows what greatness is and ties himself to it, where, you know, Taylor Allen just wants to push himself away from greatness, you know, like, thank God he has the Allen name because he associated by name with Cousin Teddy. But overall, when it comes to choosing, can we trust him? I don't know.
Hey, man. When my Indiana Pacers beat up on these banged up Milwaukee Bucks in round one, put some respect on my name. That's
well, if you're
speaking of the playoffs Pacers, is a win for us Pacers fans, damn it. So
tell you what, if your Pacers win and come out of the East, you can get me a Pacers conference finals or finals if they win the whole thing, and I'll wear that thing. And if the Celtics win theirs, I'm going to get you a Celtics shirt and you're going to have to wear it on the podcast.
Whoa. If the Pacers win the East or win their first round?
No, win the East. They don't get a t-shirt for winning the first round. If you win the East, you get a conference final shirt. Or you can hold on and wait and see if they have magic up their sleeves and win everything. I mean, we're talking a dream world right now. That's not going to happen. So, you know, that's why I'm asking. I'm getting your sizing now. I'm going to put a pre-order in on the championship jersey for the Celtics. And when they win, or not jersey, sorry, t-shirt. And when they win, you'll have one and you can wear it on the podcast and you can show it off proudly to everybody. And show that, you know, you finally succumb to greatness and you understand what greatness is and why it's important to be a part of it.
Well, the Celtics won almost 20 more games than the Pacers this year. So this isn't exactly the most fair bet of all time.
Well, don't feel bad about it. They won 20 more games than most teams, really.
That is actually true.
So, right. Yeah. So, I mean, the facts stack against you, Taylor. And I'm glad that you're noticing this. You know, you're not letting your ego get in the way. And that's good. This is why people can trust you as a journalist.
Yeah, there you go. I try.
All right.
That ends Jersey talk. That ends Pacers Celtics talk before we get confused for Bill Simmons with any more Celtics talk. Damn it. Hey. But hey, you know, hey man, I'm excited for these next couple of weeks. You know, we have a lot of awesome guests. We still have so many guys on the team that are new to the Sea Bears that we have yet to get on, but we've already talked to them and they're interested and we're going to make it happen. So stay tuned, you know, before tip off next month, we're going to have some good stuff coming for you guys ahead.
A lot of guys down the pipe, hoping to have Jared on soon. Same with Alex Campbell. It's going to be a roller coaster from here on in. Strap in, because this is where the fun starts. The season is just around the corner and we're here every step of the way. Taylor, pleasure as always, pal.
Take care, man.
Thank you for listening to the Target Score Weekly podcast. To stay up to date with Winnipeg Sea Bears and CEBL news, as well as future episode releases, follow Joey and Taylor on Twitter and Instagram at TaylorAllen31 and at JoeySlatteryTV. And wherever you're getting the podcast, be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.